We have been serving in ministry a long time, and there's something about serving that is really, really special. It is an absolute honor and a privilege to serve a church and the church's congregation. So today we wanted to open it up to just talk a little bit about what worship is for us and how we started with our calling, how that calling came to us.
One of the things that I've been thinking about recently is the youth gathering, as we had 22 kids and six adults go, and what an amazing experience for them. I hope they all had a great time there, and I've heard so many good things. When I was in high school, 5 years ago, not really, about 20 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to the National Youth Gathering in San Antonio. And for me, that was an awesome worship opportunity. One of the things that I remember is the main worship night, which for us was on Sunday or Monday, and I don't remember the day anymore. This year it was not the last thing they did, but for us it was during the week. And one of the coolest things was, you know, back in those days, we didn't have iPhones. So like the blinking app that they used this year, like it just didn't exist, right? So how many of y'all used to have those like tiny little like flashlights? You could unscrew the top and you could still see the bulb, and the bulb would kind of be bright, and like if you were cool, you'd like shine it in people's eyes. Y'all did that, right? It was just me and all the kids that I've ever watched. Okay, hopefully. So anyways, you know, we had those little flashlights that they had given us earlier in the week. And one of the things that they had us do was during the worship service, which, you know, if you can imagine today times like 40,000 people, that was the sound that was coming at us. You know, what an amazing time just to hear God's people singing. And just amazing time overall. But during the sermon, they had us take off the top of the flashlight, so that each one of us had our little, you know, point of light shining in the San Antonio Alamo Dome. And you know, as you looked around, you could see the 40,000 points of light that were there. And it truly reminded me of the gospel verse this morning. If y'all want to read it with me up there, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. You know, and one of the things that, I don't remember if this is the verse they were talking about, it's been a couple of years, but one of the things that really impacted me was just how much Jesus truly loved us, and how even the smallest little light could light up an entire stadium. You know, and we, each of us had a piece of that light. Each of us were a part of something bigger, and that was Jesus coming right into us. You know, it didn't matter what was going on in our life at that point. And some people had some crazy stuff going on, I'm sure, in that theater that day. You know, and others of us were just excited to be there. But it was just a great chance to see God's light in action, to feel God's love and grace in our lives. But for me, one of the things that really was the most impactful about the youth gathering was later in that service. I went downstairs with my pastor. He kind of cornered me and told me I was coming, but I got a cross that no one else got, or very few people got, as I was going to be participating in handing out the communion elements to 40,000 people. There was about 250 stations, basically. I think it was about that many. Anyway, so all of us got kind of an extra cross. There was a cross they gave out that was a little plastic one, which died in my car about 10 years ago because it just faded out, and I let it go. But this one is, I don't know if y'all can see it, but it's made of nails. And, you know, it reminds us of the way that Jesus went to die for us and to shed his blood. And one of the things that was so interesting for me was being a part of that group, of the small group, you know, and feeling and tasting the elements. You know, as I was giving out the bread, I think it was, I really don't remember anymore. That was, like I said, 5 years ago. But, you know, you can taste that bread. You know, the same bread that we have here every Sunday was the same kind of bread we had. And then the communion wine, you all know what communion wine tastes like, right? You know, and I can still remember that in my mind's eye, and as I taste the communion today. just being part of sharing God's grace and his love with so many people. And it was just a time where God really kind of spoke to me and said, this is something that you're going to be doing for a long time. And it was just such an incredible experience to be part of that. And to be able then to know that that was part of the way that God was telling me I was going to be coming to you guys in 5 years. or 10 years or whatever it was. 20 years. Anyways. You know, just a spectacular time where God showed his grace, that truly he loved each one of us in the same way he loves each one of you, that he'd be willing to go to the cross and die for you. And so that's part of my story of how I came into ministry, and Bradley's going to tell us a little bit about his story now.
And so hearing, you know, I got a sneak peek of Morgan's story earlier this week in Pastor Jim's office, and so I began thinking about my own story. And anyone who's in vocational ministry, we can all identify a moment when we felt God was leading us into that path. For me, it came a little bit later on, and so I started off in college, as you, I'm sure you can all easily guess, I was a pre-law major. I'm going to let that see. I saw people, yeah, that was my reaction too, especially when I told my parents, and they would be like, well, he's good at arguing, but really, okay. Well, that was very short-lived, and I immediately switched over to music. You know, I can remember as an early child, once I started playing the piano, I was just attached to it. I couldn't stop. And for me, I'd always enjoyed, you know, being a solo pianist, recording for some groups, playing, touring, all those things. And that's really what I had my sights set on, and that was going to Nashville, and that's where everything was hitting. If you had told me ministry was in my future, I would have laughed. But God has a funny way of working things out. And so as I continued my music studies, I began feeling this disconnect. I wasn't happy. There's actually even a moment in my college time that I just completely stopped playing the piano. I wanted nothing to do with it. I could not figure out what was going on inside of me. But it's around that time I had found myself involved in a local church, and the worship pastor came up to me one day and said, Bradley, I'd like you to start directing the choir. To which my first response was, seriously? You're joking, right? It's like, I'm a piano guy. Let me do some of that. He goes, no, I want you. And it was not a suggestion. And so I agreed. And I won't go into all the details of that first rehearsal, most of which were quite humorous, but we made it through. And it was in that moment that my perspective changed. I began to see the value of community when a group of believers come together to accomplish a single goal, and my career path forever changed. I graduated college and ended up doing my master's in music at seminary, of all places, and actually in just a few short weeks will complete my sixth year here. Again, something I didn't think was necessarily going to happen. But as I look back at that moment, you know, a moment that forever changed me, it's what I always think about when it comes to ministry. And I always think of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there are some excerpts up there on the screen. But in this chapter, the Apostle Paul gives a beautiful analogy of the body of Christ. And that's immediately where my mind goes when I think of music ministry. So think of a choir. You know, some voices are old, young, some strong, some weak. But each one of them coming together to make a beautiful sound. Or think of the congregation, you all as a whole. Have you ever taken a step back and just listened when you all are singing? You know, some of my favorite moments on Sunday mornings when I get to give announcements and I get to walk down and stand on the pew, and I'm usually walking down singing, but by the time I get to the front, I've stopped singing and I'm just listening at the sound that this room is creating from your voices. And I know what some of you may be thinking. Some of you may be thinking, well, that's my voice he's hearing. But some of you may be thinking, I can't carry a tune. Like, that's just not possible. But it's amazing when all these voices come together, the sound that it makes. Or think of our brass ensemble this morning. Each of the instruments powerful in their own way, but coming together, how much more powerful they are. It's amazing what a community of believers can do when they come together with a shared vision and a shared goal. Now, for me, I still love playing the piano, but for me, I don't receive as much joy anymore when I'm doing it by myself. For me, I love working with others. I love playing for a choir or a vocalist, or as you'll hear a little bit later on, Judy and I doing a duet, which, again, seems kind of odd. You have two instruments, which usually are solo instruments, very mighty instruments in and of themselves, but coming together and realizing what they can do together with one goal in mind.
So my story is a little bit like Bradley's. I had a great love for music early on. I started playing piano when I was 5 because I couldn't stop playing when my sister was having her piano lessons. I would go up and start writing songs on the keyboard. So I started playing piano, and I was that kid, that young girl, 9, 10 years old, that would lock herself in the bedroom for hours to write down all the lyrics to the songs on the radio. Because if you're going to practice in front of your mirror with your hairbrush, you got to get the words right, yeah? So that's how my love for music started, was just being closed up in my room listening to music all the time. But when I was 13, I got to sing my first solo in church. And it was that moment that I knew something special happens in worship. It's something we can't explain. It's God. It's a God thing. And I felt God working through me in that song. Now, I was 13, so I didn't fully understand it, but I knew I was being pulled in a way that I couldn't understand. And I knew it had to be God leading me to a future. And I did it with singing, because I felt it was not about performance. It wasn't about getting up and singing for you. It was God singing through me and sharing his amazing love that I knew I felt inside, God's love, but it was making sure the congregation felt how big God was and how much he loved you. And so at 18, I was going to college. I was a music major at North Texas, and I had my sights on becoming a music teacher in the public school system. That's where I was. I had the plan made. I was kind of like Bradley, got my plan. Well, God sort of jumped in there and changed that for me. So I was 18, and my director said, why don't you become the assistant youth director? Okay. And then a few years after that, it's like, why don't you start a junior high choir? Okay. You know what? Why don't you just take over the youth choir? Okay. And then it was, you know what? We want you to start a contemporary worship service. I was like, what? Now, this, mind you, was when contemporary worship was not as mainstream as it is today. The denominational churches were not doing contemporary services. Those other churches did contemporary worship services. So it was a real stretch for me coming from a traditional background. But I said yes. And in the blink of an eye, I turn around and I've been in music ministry for 25 years. And I know you're thinking, she doesn't look that old. No, that's not what you're thinking. So, and it was this weekend, 8 years ago, that I started at Peace full time. So it's been an amazing ride. And music is all around us, isn't it? It's everywhere we go. It's on the TV, it's on the radio, it's the background of video games, it's in every shopping mall, it's in every grocery store, it's in sports arenas. Everywhere you go, we're inundated with music. But it's become our background noise, hasn't it? Worship is one of the last few places we have the opportunity to come together collectively and sing. Where else can you do that? And at Peace Lutheran, let me tell you, we are a diverse group around here. We love to sing liturgical chant, hymns that are 600 years old. We do modern praise music. We do gospel music. We do African, Spanish. We're all over the place with our music, because isn't that truly what God's kingdom looks like? If we look at Revelation 7, it says to us, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. God wants us to sing. He wants us to have that diversity when we come to worship him. And we know that not every hymn we pick or every song we pick is your favorite. We do know that. And trust us, if we were honest, probably not every hymn that we pick is our favorite either. But I know we worship almost 600 people a weekend. And I know somebody out there, God is moving with that hymn or with that song that we sing. I know for me, when my kiddos were born, so I have triplets, and when they were born 3 months early. My biggest one was 2 pounds, 15 ounces. He was huge. My baby, my little one, he was 1.5 pounds. And they told me that those two had a slim chance of living, that they probably weren't going to make it because they were so small. And I remember being in the NICU, and they were in the incubator, and I was over Matthew's, and they had been born about 10, 12 days earlier, and I still haven't even touched them. I hadn't even gotten a chance to hold them because they were so small. So I remember just putting my hands on that incubator, just wanting desperately to touch him. And the words that bubbled up to the surface for me were, "Great is thy faithfulness." And I just sang that to him over and over, "Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Songs connect us. They connect us to each other. And the hymns that we do here, you all share your stories with me. "Oh, that was my favorite hymn because that's the one that we did at my mom's funeral. That's my favorite song because they played it at our wedding. My grandmother used to sing that to me." Songs connect us together. They create community for us. And it was all through the Bible. When the Israelites came through the Red Sea, the first thing they did collectively, what'd they do? They sang. Jesus and his disciples, what did they do together? They sang. The Psalms are filled with songs for all sorts of reasons. Joy and sorrow, praise and lament. We come together collectively because that's what connects us to God. It's how God works through us. It goes both ways. So God did design us to sing together. I truly believe that. And over 25 years, I have heard every reason why people don't sing. Some are pretty funny. But the most common one is, "Oh, my family tells me I can't carry a tune in a bucket. They tell me I'm horrible. They say, please don't sing in church. You're embarrassing me." I've heard, "Real men don't sing." I've heard them all. But when we come together, kind of like what Bradley was saying, when we come together collectively, God has this amazing gift. He is truly an auto-pitch corrector. So if you think you're not good, when you're with voices beside you and in front of you in a choir and you come together, he tunes us to honor him. He tunes us to glorify him. So it's about singing. It's about coming together. This is where our community starts, and God works miracles through it. So I want you to read this last scripture with us today. Paul wrote this in Colossians, which I think really sums up this calling to music and to singing together. Read this with me. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in hearts to God." Christ dwells in us, and he lives through us, and when we sing, something powerful happens. So let's stand, and we're going to sing, of course. We're going to do the doxology. All right, we're going to come together and give all our honor and glory to God in this song. "Praise God from whom..."